This first Sunday of Lent each year, we tell the story of how Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. This reading this morning, a very brief account, so typical of the Gospel of Matthew, which as always gives us a succinct summary of the event. Only two verses here. What may sound strange to us is that the temptation follows immediately upon Jesus' baptism and his anointing by the Spirit. Mark says the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. We heard this same text during Epiphany as we relate the story of Jesus' baptism, how the Spirit descended upon Jesus, and how this event was the beginning of his ministry. Today we will look at another side of this same text. It's how the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. The season of Lent is a good time to consider the wilderness, a place of emptiness. But to begin, it's helpful to reflect briefly on the place where people usually live, which is in the city. In ancient times, the people of the world almost universally lived in walled cities. The Greek philosopher Aristotle described human beings as essentially political creatures, and he meant by that that our nature as humanity is to live in a polis, which is the Greek word for a walled city. Outside the city, he said, one is either a god or a beast, and the territory between the cities is that not governed by law, but outside the structures that guide everyday life. And so the desert or the wilderness is the risky territory outside the city. In our times, there is much less physical space that we call wilderness. Our cities don't have walls. For the most part, civilization has internalized for us laws and structure that we must have to live together. The laws and norms of conduct that civilizations depend on for survival have become, we could say, the inner structure of our lives. The spread of civilization has generally seemed to be a great benefit. In America, we say we have tamed the Wild West. Not long ago, it was true that everyone who had a gun was a law for themselves. Lately, it seems many would like to still have it that way. A successful civilization with its built-in structures and conventions shapes our lives and our outward behavior. But for all of this, there is a price to pay. The structures and the conventions blunt our awareness. We think these describe the world the way it really is. But with a little bit of wisdom, it is not hard to see how these structures are only partial, infallible descriptions of life in the world. And today, the problem of this limitation is magnified because of our increasing population and our technology that shrinks the world down to one place. Our various cultural descriptions, usually at great odds with one another, come into a disturbing clash. It may seem God is saying to us we can't live any longer insulated from one another, content in our cultural bubbles. No longer can humanity together afford the narcissism that is blind to our deep connection with one another, to God, to creation, the sacred earth, our island home. So maybe we could say we still do live in a walled city, and it's as if we have walled ourselves in, oblivious to the bigger world outside. It's the case, we could say, physically or socially, spiritually, both on a local and on a global scale. So this brings us to the relevance of the wilderness. Mark writes, the Spirit of God drove Jesus into the wilderness. That old idea of the desert as the risky territory outside the city walls is like the wilderness that lies in you and in me, or in our community and our conventional lives are called into question. It's not surprising that the experience of the Spirit of God is often to drive us into the wilderness, outside the world of our familiar landmarks, outside the predictable patterns of our living. In the conventional world, we're involved with many activities. We're preoccupied with many concerns and many agendas. Altogether, there is so much noise and static that it's hard to hear that still, small voice in which the presence of God is known. It seems that the conventional world almost conspires against our hearing, making us deaf to that voice. The spiritual writer Henry Nouwen, in his tract on spiritual direction, describes the spiritual life in the context of the conventional world. And he writes that the spiritual life is the one in which we struggle to move from absurd living to obedient living. The word absurd, he tells us, comes from the Latin word absurdus, which means deaf. Absurd living is a way of life where we remain deaf to the voice that speaks to us in our silence. We too easily fall into this way of living when our life is bounded by the conventional structures of culture. Our lives may be filled with many events, so many that we wonder how will we fit them all together. At the same time, we so often feel unfulfilled, and we wonder, are all my preoccupations worth this energy? We are filled yet unfulfilled, busy yet bored, involved yet lonely, and those are the symptoms of the absurd life. The life in which we no longer hear the voice of the one who created us, the one who keeps calling us to the deeper life in which we are created. The Spirit of God calls us out of this world that is filled up, yet unfulfilling, into the silence and the emptiness of the wilderness. The wilderness is that place where we are freed to go beyond the boundaries of our conventional world and ways of thinking. The wilderness is the world where we can listen. It's the other end of the spiritual spectrum, the obedient life. The word obedience, from the Latin odere, means listening. Spiritually mature life is the one where we can listen to the voice of God's Spirit within us and among us. It is the life where we try to respond to that voice day by day. Our God is a God who cares, who heals, guides, directs, challenges, confronts, and corrects. So Christ in you and in me wants to lead us to a closer realization of our full humanity. To be obedient means to be constantly attentive to that active presence and to allow Christ, who is love, to be the source and the goal of all we think and say and do. All that said, it's far from easy to live a life of listening. There are strong resistances within us. First, it's hard to create some empty space in ourselves, give up those occupations and preoccupations, even for a while. We suffer from a fear of empty space. We want to be useful, effective, and in control. And a useless and uncontrollable moment is scary. It drives us back to that security of having to have something to do. And then there is another fear of it. Besides that of empty space, a fear of the voice of God, which we might come to hear. Although we are unsatisfied and so often unfulfilled, we're not sure we want to change direction. And you know the stories of those who listen to God's voice, how they're called away from familiar territory into places where they must take risks. It was true for the Israelites, who complained to Moses they would rather be in Egypt than wandering out unpredictably in the desert. It's true for men and women who followed Christ and found themselves subject to persecution painful trials. So it's far from easy to move from absurd living to obedience, and it requires discipline. Lent is a season that invites us to practice disciplines on a maybe more intense level. Discipline in the spiritual life is required if we would follow Christ. Discipline is what enables us to let go of our tight grip on things we take for granted, even though we know a day is coming when we have to let it all go. So why not discover the freedom of life now while we have a choice? So this Lenten season, we are invited to go with Christ into the wilderness, into the desert, this Lenten season, invited to a vision of an obedient life that is sensitive, listening, full of the presence of God.